a romantic type of thing, isn't it, really? Opera, it's hard to understand as well, I think.
I like to go to an odd, light opera, as long as it's not too heavy.
Most of it's in Italian, and usually associated with people on an income that's higher than mine.
Pavarotti, those kind of names, or maybe some of the Italian kind of sounding names, that's about it.
But I think in the last few years I've started to get into it, so Verdi and things like that.
I studied opera when I did my intercert, and after that then I don't know much.
I love classical music, but I know nothing about opera and I've never kind of made the effort to actually go.
There are certain operas now that I do like. I don't like the real heavy stuff.
Just when I hear it sometimes, I do appreciate it and it does make me tingle, I have to admit.
I think, like a lot of music, it's very uplifting. And I think sometimes opera can take a little bit of work, but it'll be worth it.
To me, the exciting thing about opera is it's something incredibly one-to-one. You feel when you're listening to a singer that you are the only person there and that singer is singing to you.
Audiences in Ireland do love opera. They love the drama of it. And Irish people are a musical nation, so they are actually attracted to the music of opera.
Opera that doesn't seek to engage with an audience, I think, is in danger of signing its own death warrant.
The big thing is that since the 80s or so, there's been less and less and less opera produced.
I think we need to take ownership of opera and say that opera is for everyone. I'm Michael Barker-Caven. I'm artistic director of the Everyman Theatre in Cork. There's a very particular question that one has to address about the elitist factor in opera by saying that comes from within opera, and we need to question it. So I think we need to look at ourselves very carefully about our own choices, of how we frame opera, and how we reach out to our audience.
I'm Niall Doyle. I was chief executive of Opera Ireland for 4 years in the period leading up to the wind-up of Opera Ireland. The biggest problem for anybody who likes opera, or might like opera, is that there has been very, very little opportunity for the last 25, 30 years to connect with opera. Far, far less than there would have been in most European countries. This is ultimately a failure of public policy. The book for that stops with the agencies who are ultimately charged with that, and that's the Arts Council and the government. They're two sides of the policy-making coin. The Irish National Opera Project was a very genuine attempt to really make things much, much better. And I think that was showed great hope and great promise. And that fell apart in the kind of tragic way that it did. It set things back a great deal, I think.
I agree that in certain ways, the demise of Opera Ireland and the non-appearance of the planned Irish National Opera, these are very sad things. But at the same time, I think that whole concept of a national opera company is something that's very difficult. It's a bit like the National Rail Service. Different countries are responding to it in different ways, some trying to dismantle, some trying to bolster up, some trying to hold on to something that's vanishing. I'm Fergus Scheel, and I'm the founder and the artistic director of Wide Open Opera. I suppose now is an opportunity, since there is a gap in the market. I've founded Wide Open Opera in order to try and really approach opera in a totally different way. Here, we've so little, but I think that we can invent a totally different type of, I'm not going to call it a national opera company, but a national opera provision, if you like, and put something together which isn't necessarily a national opera company in the old-fashioned sense, but can do some incredibly creative things.
My name is Rosemary Collier. I'm the director and CEO of Kilkenny Arts Festival, but I'm formerly the head of music and opera at the Arts Council, and I'm a board member of Wide Open Opera. I don't work for the Arts Council anymore, but certainly when I was there, the policy was that there were three very established companies at the time. They were all doing three very distinct things. One of the really interesting things that has happened now post the breakdown of that three-pronged stool in terms of opera provision is that you are starting to see really interesting people come forward and people with very new and innovative ways of making the work and really challenging maybe the old perceptions in terms of models and how they should be made in Ireland.
I'm John O'Kane. I work for the Arts Council. My job title is Arts Director. You know, we've had to reflect deeply on this in the last couple of years. I would say that finding a distinctive voice for Irish opera is the end game. Whether that voice is articulated by an Irish national opera company or not is another matter. My own view of what an Irish opera voice might sound like is really around engaging with the public, engaging with the audience for opera, which undoubtedly exists in this country.
I'm Virginia Kerr. I'm an international opera singer and I am chairperson of Opera Theatre Company. I think it's opened the whole thing up and made it much more accessible to different possible practitioners and different partnerships.
I think it's great because it's opening it up. Maybe it's going to be 3 years, maybe it's going to be 5 years, perhaps it's going to be longer. Because in the short term, we're not going to have an Irish National Opera. We're not going to be able to do that. So this is just another way of looking at opera and putting it out there.
We do need, I think, a national company. And whether that national company is in a fixed building and in a fixed place is the issue. For me, I think it should be more a concept. It should be more an aspirational idea, a national company that can appear in any guise, in any shape and form, in any part of the country.